So today I want to talk about mandating electronic lab reporting in Massachusetts, which we just passed a law through our General Public Health Council in July of this year. And I wanted to kind of talk about the law itself and then currently how we do electronic lab reporting in Massachusetts with Lincoln SNOMED codes. So talk about the status, the benefits, return on investment, some of our challenges that we face as well, I'm sure some of you face through this ELR piece of your web-based surveillance system, and talk about the regulations overall. So our goals were to collect the laboratory reports for notifiable conditions, which would allow labs, hospitals to have that single point of entry into our system and automate it. So there was no human intervention. You map it, the Lincoln SNOMED code, or the HL7, or that simplified message format, which I'll go over in a second and show you an example, which improves the timeliness and the data quality, because you don't have 25 people doing data entry, or your EPIs having to do data entry and pick the right test and the right result code. It also provides hospitals and laboratorians a way to transmit that data through a very systematic way, and it supports that messaging with the FIN standards. And it also is a flexible system, so if a laboratory test is either added or deleted, it can be done pretty quickly on our interface, which again I'll show you. So this is what we call this legacy data flow. I started at Mass Department of Public Health 3 years ago. This is where we were. Some of this is still there because I just think that's the way it's going to be. And it was a mess. You had silo systems, different program areas from STD, TB, EPI and immunization, immigrant health. You had the state lab over here to the right, and they had all these people just shooting us messages. Paper, disks, CD-ROMs. Mail on Mondays was always fun for our data entry staff. What we wanted to see happen was this unified message interface, which again I'll show you as we get into the presentation. We built this unified messaging interface with D1. It's a company that's downstairs. We helped develop that interface, and it was a way to provide that single point of contact for our laboratories, providers, and local health. And it was based on a remote order entry system that allowed for that bidirectional communication. Jim Daniel, who is our CIO now, was in the Office of Integrated Surveillance and Informatics and was my boss, and now he's downtown. He was the one who really, he and Jillian Haney were really kind of the brainchild, behind this whole ELR gateway in working out with D1. So here's that operational flow with ELR. So the hospital or the laboratory information system, we go in, we map out your data, and again, I'll show you some of the screenshots on how they map out the data from their local codes. But we set it up where it extracts it out automatically every day, it formats the message, and it comes in through that gateway, and then it translates it into that standardized code that we want to have coming into Maven. So again, it's automatic. It happens every day, two or three times a day. And so it was built to take an HL7 message or a simplified message format. And we did it because certain labs and hospitals didn't have the capacity to do that. So we wanted to make sure that we set it up in such a way to alleviate some of those issues going into it. So here is an example of a local code. You have the HAV-IgM. They call it HEPA-IgM. The local results positive, or it could be positive. We map it in, and then it comes out when it gets transmitted through the system as HEPA-IgM positive. It automatically alerts the epidemiologist. It automatically alerts the local board of health if they're online with Maven. So there's no human intervention. It comes in, it maps it accordingly, and it alerts who needs to be alerted. So this is a screenshot of the actual D1 product that we developed with D1. It gives you the details of the disease, the LOINC and the SNOMED codes. It lists out the disease. So what happens is we set with the laboratorian or the microbiologist or the infection control practitioner, and we literally go through all their diseases that are reportable, and we map them out. So it gives exactly what the description is, the clinical description, and then the LOINC. So this is the codes that we take. We only take HEPA-IgM, so that's why I picked it. It was an easy one. And they literally type in HEP IgM, and then the description. And that's what actually pulls out onto Maven. So the next screenshot is, this is a Maven screenshot. So as that message comes into the system, under this is a screenshot for the lab piece, it pulls in HEPA virus antibody, IgM, or arbitrary concentration, point in time, it's a serum, and it's a positive result. So again, it's that standard LOINC and SNOMED code. And then again, this is a Maven. It's just the backside for the two labs that came in. And again, there's the HEPA. It's positive, and it comes in automatically from Beth Israel. So the current status is we have about 80 clinical laboratories, local and national, in Massachusetts, or reporting to Massachusetts. The message formats are the HL7 2.3.1 and then that simplified message format. We have 24 hospitals and laboratories reporting right now to us, one commercial laboratory reporting to us, and then we have about 20 laboratories, hospitals in different phases of their implementation. We have a pretty well-documented implementation guide. If anybody's interested and you want it, I can certainly email it to you. That our vendor, who we've contracted out with, he works with the hospitals and laboratories to bring them online. Here is early on in the process, we wanted to make sure that we were addressing timeliness and completeness. So 06, we looked at the paper reports from one hospital, median days to process the report through the mail, through the big envelopes and all the paper, date stamping it, putting in the file drawer, having the data staff pull it back out, data enter it, 14 days. Through the EOR process for this particular hospital, the number jumped up to 240 from 108. And then the median days went down from 2 days to process it, print out those reports, and get it out to that local board of health in the state. So the return on investment, what we figured out is that it takes about 30 to 40 hours of an IT resource from the hospital information system. You basically map the local codes to those standard HL7 naming conventions. Again, 30 to 40 hours of that infection control practitioner or microsupervisor's time, but then the time saved from the infection control practitioners, who were really the ones that were driving this law to be passed, was they kept telling us that if you don't mandate that you make it, we have to do this, our bosses are never going to give us the time or the IT resources to do it. And so, again, we went to Public Health Council, we wrote it, we passed it. And so it basically, a couple of ICPs are saving 80 hours a month from filling out the morbidity cards, writing out the little pieces of paper that they send to us. A lot of times the address or the doc's name is not very clear, so we send it back to them or call them. So it's this constant cycle where you're trying to get the information out of them and they're tired of hearing you call and leave messages on their voicemail. So the return on investment, if you start to show them this, it really plays out, especially with the IT people. But again, it was the teeth of the mandate that we had to move to that. So we have a contracted staff member, works IT on our staff, and an epidemiologist staff person. We give training, technical assistance, and then again, that assistance with the web services, the extract to send the messages to us. You got to set that up. And then the mapping as well with the assistance. The challenges are those IT resources. At any hospital, they're always very limited and they're stingy. And so the CEO, CIO, they're really not willing to allocate those resources that we would like for them to do it. So again, in working with the infection control microbiology laboratorians, they understood it, but their bosses didn't. And the ICPs requested that we make it a requirement. And what we did is we passed the law. There's no punitive measures because Aldi Maria, my boss, is not really big into the big stick. So we're going to start off slow, really going after the large hospital providers that aren't already on board. And it just got passed. So literally we're in the process of telling everybody. Word has gotten out because we've had a couple of the ICPs call us and say, okay, we know it's passed. What do we got to do to get on the bus first? So the word's out, but again, we haven't, I don't think, formally sent out any of the paperwork. Targeted educational efforts at the ICPs, the micro laboratorians, and the CIOs at those particular hospitals that aren't on board yet. And then we want a phased implementation. Take it slow with the larger providers, get them on board. It's usually once you map we go through probably about a two-week cycle of sending messages and just verifying what you're sending us electronically is what we have on paper. And then once it's validated, we turn you online, and then we continue to check for another couple weeks, and then we basically say, you're good to go, and we turn you online, and that's it. We're looking at probably a 2 to 3 year, you know, effort. That's you know, on the conservative side, I think it's going to be a little bit longer, but you know, we're happy that we got it through Public Health Council, and the commissioner's office, I think, is very supportive because they get the whole piece of the ELR. The lab is what drives those confirmed or starts the whole case investigation. And so it cuts down on the time that we're spending on trying to find an address or a physician's name, address. It is kind of crazy. So again, if you would like the implementation guide or anything about ELR that we do in Massachusetts, you know, email me and I'll be glad to share.